Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Tuesday Night Jaw on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, your host, Jim Smallman, in my slightly less echoey than it used to be kitchen. Still echoey. We have painted, but it's still just paint on the walls and the hard floor. So still a little bit echoey. It's 10:30 on a Thursday evening. Once again this week, time has got ahead of me a little bit. And I've not managed to put the podcast out on Tuesday, but I did promise you lovely people that I would put a podcast out every week. This isn't going to be the biggest episode, but I thought I'd chat to you a little bit about how mad my summer's been. And then do a couple of lists from me book. That's my book, I'm Sorry I Love You, A History of Professional Wrestling, that came out in August, and I'm super proud of. And you guys listen to this podcast are one of the reasons that the book got made in the first place. And it's definitely the reason I put lists in the book. Thank you to everybody who's bought it. Really appreciate it. Should you want to buy it, go to jimsmallman.com/book. And there's loads of different links and how you can buy it there. I've had a lot of people ask if they can buy a signed copy, which is hard. Because I'll basically, if you buy the book and you find me at a show, I'll sign the book. Dead easy. Don't have a problem with that whatsoever. It's a bit harder for me to send signed copies out because I don't have a big supply of the books myself. They're sold by Amazon and by Waterstones and various other booksellers. Book depository if you're outside the UK as well, with the people I'd recommend using. I'm speaking to my publisher this week. We're going to try and find a way that I can sign a load of them, and one of the booksellers can sell a load of signed copies should anyone want them for Christmas presents and stuff like that. So I will be doing that, but thank you if you have picked the book up so far. It's also on Audible and on Kindle should you not want an actual hardback copy book. Like that one I've just banged on the table. Thanks for everyone who's bought it. If you are planning on buying it, cheers. If you're going to buy it for someone as a Christmas present, awesome. Really, really grateful. And genuinely very happy with the support that the book has got over the course of the last month or so since it's been out. So cheers, everybody. Some other quick plugs. There's a progress show this Sunday. It's sold out, soz. But weekend tickets are now on sale for Super Strong Style 16, which is next May, the first bank holiday weekend of May next year, the Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's my favourite weekend of the year. I love Super Strong Style 16. We're back at Alexandra Palace again after having a great time there this year. So come along if you can. Weekend tickets are on sale until the 29th of October. Then it will be day tickets only. I think you save a couple of quid by buying a weekend ticket. But after the 29th, if you want to come for the weekend, you just have to buy a single ticket for each 3 days. Dead easy. But it will be good. We are planning big things. One person has been announced for it thus far. That's Travis Banks, who put himself into it during our show at Wembley Arena. But that means there's 15 other people for us to name. And we're going to come up with some pretty good names. Come along, support that. Have a great weekend with a load of wrestling fans. Boom. Job done. There'll probably be a live Tuesday Night Jaw as well. Probably, I would imagine. So there's that. Demand-progress.com for all your progress watching needs. Do go and watch. If you're not already subscribing to Demand Progress and you want to watch something for free, then watch the main event from Wembley Arena. Watch Walter against Tyler Bate in what I think is the best main event in progress history. A ridiculously good match between two ridiculously talented human beings. Do check that out if you can. It's a heck of a long match and it's well worth watching for free. And point people who've perhaps never heard of Progress at it, because it's a really good introduction to what we do. Obviously in front of a bigger crowd than we normally perform in front of, but yeah, it's pretty good. So I point people at that. I think that's it for plugs, really. I don't really do stand-up anymore, so I don't need to plug any of that. Just this podcast, I suppose. Point people at jimsmorman.com/TNJ. Don't forget you can now listen on Spotify, should that be how you choose to listen to your podcasts. Obviously we're on iTunes, obviously we're on Acast and various other places. If you like the podcast, rate and review it and recommend it to a friend, all that jazz. I think that's it. That's it for the plugs. Yes. Right then. So, why has Tuesday Night Jaw not been around during the summer? Because we were dead busy. We were dead busy on various different fronts. Obviously, Progress went to America. And in the spring, we went to America and then Australia. And that was pretty crazy. And then there was a lot of trying to catch up with everything that we needed to do. So by the time we got to the summer, we were then going out to America where we had 6 Progress shows plus a Progress show either side of it. And then Wembley to get ready for. And I just kind of ran out of time, especially when I was doing my book publicity as well. So I apologise for not putting podcast out loads. I am now recommitted to doing the podcast more than ever. But, you know, sometimes it might not necessarily be out on a Tuesday. The name Tuesday Night Jaw was a pun on Monday Night Raw anyway. So it doesn't necessarily always have to be out on a Tuesday. I apologise for that. Probably won't always be out on a Tuesday. I'll always try and aim for that, but it won't always be the case. So how was my summer? How was your summer? Was it good? Thanks. My summer was great, if I'm honest. Went to America, did a load of shows, did a show at ECW Arena, that was pretty special. Did a show in Boston, which was great. Did a show in New York, which had one of the best atmospheres that I think I'll ever experience at a Progress show, Le Boom in Queens. And featured one of the best tag matches I've ever seen as well between OG CCK and LAX. And then we did a show in Seattle, which was just mind-meltingly good. Had great matches on it. Crowd was so awesome. People at Defy in Seattle are very, very good promoters. They've got a wonderful fan base there. Sort of fan base that makes you excited to be around professional wrestling. So super happy to go there. Also fell in love with the Pacific Northwest and would really, really like to live there. So Seattle was great. We then went and did a show in Chicago, which was great fun, and a show in Detroit, which was great fun. If you've seen it on demand-progress.com, under the watchful eye of Jesus was that show in Detroit. And we just had a great time in America and had chapter shows in the UK before and after that as well, and then did Wembley. So it was pretty busy. Some good memories from America. Becoming friends with Brody King. Mentioned that on the podcast last week when he was a guest. If you've not listened to that episode yet, check it out. Being on a bus with professional wrestlers who I like, that was just fun. Like, people expect tours to be stressful and full of people arguing and stuff like that. Not for us. The big stress we had on that tour was Kid Lykos breaking his collarbone. That sucked, because you'll know this because Lykos has been on the podcast a couple of times. I think he's great. I think he's a fantastic wrestler. I think he's a lovely human being. And to see him get hurt really, really, really sucked. And we tried, and our tour manager James, who was brilliant, we really tried to look after him as best as we could. But he's a trooper. He's like us. He's a good dude. The American healthcare system is baffling and very expensive. But luckily he got an operation and stuff while he was there, and hopefully he's well on the way to recovery now, because I'd like to see him in a Progress ring again very soon. I like us a lot. So that part sucked. The fans wherever he went were great. Just really, really good. Really, really appreciative that we'd come out to see them, which is crazy, because we should be grateful to you guys because you bought a ticket. You're the reason we're there. But yeah, just met so many cool people, had so many cool stories. I had a conversation with a guy in Chicago who travelled all the way from Minnesota. I had a long conversation with him about AWA and Vern Gagne and things like that. It was just really, really cool. But the coolest thing that happened in America for me... Now, you may be aware of this, I missed my son's second birthday. because I was in America. Last year, he came to America, so I was there with him for his first birthday. That was the day before the infamous Elm Core Center New York show last year. He didn't come to the show, thankfully. He was tucked up in bed by the time we were doing that show. So I missed his birthday. But my daughter, by a strange quirk of fate, you know, people who are aware will know I have a 15-year-old daughter and she doesn't live with me. And she was in New York on holiday with her mother. And on the morning of her birthday, I managed to take her for pancakes and have a lovely, lovely time, which was great. And then we went shopping for a bit. And the day before that, when I arrived in New York, I got there. Jimmy Havoc was already there. And I messaged him and said, hey, shall we hang out? And we went to a video game bar and played video games and then went and had food. And that was lovely. I don't have much of a social life. So to occasionally get a bit of a social life was really, really lovely. To hang out with Jimmy, who is one of my oldest friends in wrestling, that was really, really cool. And then to see my daughter, that was really, really nice. So that was a really, really cool start to the American trip. And then we did shows that were cool and good fun. The talent we had out there with us worked so hard to make sure those shows worked. Always be grateful to them for how hard they all worked on it. And then we came home and did more wrestling. Of course, the other thing that's been keeping me busy, and if you listen to Flash Morgan Webster's interview with me, you'll probably be aware that I'm around this, as are my colleagues John and Glenn, is NXT UK. I have a small part in that way behind the scenes. So I'm very excited to see the final results of that being on television, or on the network rather, over the course of the past couple of weeks. Really, really pleased to see the positive response to that. And again, it's like, I'm super proud of progress, but I'm also super proud of what NXT UK are doing through being involved with it. So that's been a really, really cool thing and something that's enabled me to be full-time working in the world of wrestling, which is, as regular listeners of this podcast will know, it's something that I've always wanted to do. So this summer has been a massive turning point in my life, being involved in NXT UK, progress doing really, really great, really, really great things. My book coming out has meant that genuinely my dreams have come true. And sadly, it's meant I've not done the podcast as much. But now, hopefully, back on the horse. I'll always try and put one out every week, I promise. But, you know, I like to be honest with you guys. I'm a pretty busy dude at the minute. And I know most of you know this, but sometimes it's just nice to actually spell it out to you a little bit, isn't it? So that's basically what's happening. Let's get to the book and a couple of lists. So I've put some lists in the book, and the reason for that is the list episodes of this podcast are always really popular. You guys love them. But what I thought I'd do is I'd take two of the lists from the book. So spoilers if you've not read the book already, but there's another 140,000 words for you to read. Don't worry about it. And I thought I'd just explain the lists in the book. There's two lists. The ones I'm going to go with are the list of top 10 managers of all time. The reason I want to go through this one is because I've been talking about it a lot on stage. I don't do much comedy now, but during WXW's tag weekend and the day before our Wembley show, I did stand-up. I did my History of Wrestling stand-up show, which is a partner to the book. And I tell a couple of stories about the manager list. So I thought I may as well, it's out there a bit more, I may as well talk about that one. And there's another list I did, which was, you got to bear in mind, I wrote this list. I started writing the book last August. I'd finished writing the book in January, and then I just had to edit it a bit. So I wrote this list that I'm going to do, which is my 10 people to watch over the next decade. I wrote that list in sort of turn of the year. So it's interesting to see how people are already doing on that list. So that's why I thought I'd do that one. So that's what we're going to do. So list number one. This is Jim's top 10 managers. This is page 171 of I'm Sorry, I Love You, a History of Professional Wrestling, published by Headline this year. Proper publisher as well. Ridiculous. So I'm a man with an English degree who never thought he'd write a book. So to be able to write one about the thing I love, you have no idea. Now, I'm not going to read this word for word, because if you want to listen to me read the entire book, you can on Audible. But believe me, that was 3 days of me reading every word I'd written and re-edited. It was torture for me. People seem to like hearing my voice. God bless you. So anyway, top 10 managers. And again, I wrote this list turn of the year. Things might have changed now. This is just how it's laid out in the book. Okay. So number 10 is Zelina Vega. Now, I think Zelina's work especially with Andrade Cien Almas in NXT, is wonderful. I mean, I'm also biased because I think Almas is one of the best wrestlers walking the face of the earth, and I know a lot of you guys think that as well. So I genuinely, I know that when people take the step up from NXT to the main roster, not everybody ends up being a Finn Balor straight away, or a Kevin Owens, or a Samoa Joe. Not everybody takes that step up, but I think he's already in a solid place. He's already having good matches, and I can still see him as a world champion in the future. He just, to me, is a wonderful, wonderful wrestler. Got tons and tons of charisma whilst not having he speaks English, but not got necessarily the greatest grasp of the English language. I just think he's fantastic. And people forget that Zelina Vega had her own wrestling background in TNA, working as Rosita before she got into NXT and became the manager and spokesperson of Andrade. And I think the really cool thing there is, if you think back to how that relationship would have been done 10, 20 years ago, it would have been done in a strange kind of valet, quasi-romantic way. What's really cool about the relationship, certainly in NXT, between Zelina and Andrade, was that she was in charge. She was the boss. She was the one who made the decisions. She was the powerful, dominant, intelligent one. And I thought that was a really, really cool thing to be doing. She was the reason he became NXT champion. He went from being a party animal to being dead serious and being NXT champion. And I think that's really, really cool. Number nine is Gedo. Obviously, he was a tag team wrestler for quite some time. You may remember seeing him on ECW videos. That's where I first saw him, with their ridiculous flame-themed outfits with Jado. But obviously, he's really important in the world of wrestling because he's New Japan's booker. But at the same time, he is he's very visible on shows as, when I wrote this, manager of Okada. Now, obviously, recently, spoilers, there's been a bit of a change and a bit of a turn, which was genuinely shocking because he was, you know, people were so used to seeing him in Okada's side. So definitely think he deserves his place as a manager, even though he doesn't really do much. He tends to occasionally get involved, but most of the time it's just delivering hyped up hype man promos at the end of shows. But it's interesting to see what they're doing with the shifting of stables in New Japan at the minute, because it's something I think kind of needed doing. A little bit of a shake-up needed to happen. So yeah, good stuff. Number eight from Ring of Honor is Truth Martini, someone who's trained a lot of wrestlers as well as being decent in ring himself. I really like the House of Truth gimmick that started in around 2010, I think. That kind of smug, self-serving sort of life coach, almost cult leader sort of thing. I'm a big fan of that sort of gimmick. And again, if you look in terms of success, did manage Ring of Honor world champions, Jay Lethal, Roderick Strong. And I always like something that isn't just a straight manager. There's a little bit of a gimmick behind it. And I think that's what Truth Martini had, and was a really clever gimmick for that time. Certainly, I wouldn't be averse to seeing something similar to it in wrestling now either. I think it's something that could always work. You just always have to tweak these things a little bit just to make them a little bit different. Number seven, more known for managing the Road Warriors / Legion of Doom, and less known for briefly having a wooden puppet. It's Paul Ellering. I didn't know this until I was researching for the book. He didn't just kind of look after their careers in the ring. He helped them with their careers outside of the ring as well. And a great fact that I found out while researching the book was that, I found this from reading Road Warrior Animal's autobiography. You know Zubas, those ridiculous trousers that nearly every wrestler in the 1980s and 1990s wore? They were invented by the Road Warriors. How cool is that as a fact? It's brilliant. I've got some Zubas. I can't imagine Davey Boy Smith outside of his ring gear not wearing Zubas, or the Warlord. They would always wear Zubas. So yeah, also Paul Ellering was, of course, manager of the Authors of Pain until recently, and was the manager of the slightly less lauded Disciples of Apocalypse during the Gang Wars era of WWE in the late 90s. But still a fine manager. Briefly met him at an NXT show once. Lovely guy too. Really, really lovely. Number six is your friend and mine, Jim Cornette. Here's the thing. I'm never not going to put Jim Cornette in a list of the best managers of all time. He's clearly one of the greatest managers of all time. He's not in the sort of upper echelons of my list. He's not in my top five, not in my top three, not my number one, for a couple of reasons. One, he wished death upon me, which I'm kind of is going to make my opinion slightly sullied. It's not going to sully my opinion enough to not put him in the top 10, because the man clearly knew what he was doing with wrestling for a long time. Great booker, very creative, wonderful manager, did great stuff. He's living a little bit in the past now, but I think part of that's his gimmick. And to be fair, hurtful though his words sometimes can be, he's still harmless and still has a great legacy in the world of wrestling. So it was always going to be in my top 10, at least. Never going to be in my top 5 for personal reasons, but was always going to be in my top 10. Because, you know, sometimes you've got to attempt to be the bigger man. That's me doing that. Also, you know, you've got to give the guy credit. Because not only did he manage and he threw himself into stuff, literally, you know, his knees were ruined from falling from a scaffold match and stuff like that. So you can't say he didn't want to be involved in it. Sometimes we'll get, through progress, we'll get people messaging us saying, oh, really, I really want to be involved in the world of wrestling, but I don't want to ever wrestle because it hurts, but I want to be a manager. Well, you can't be a manager unless you're a trained wrestler, really. You're going to have to take bumps at some point. Otherwise, what's the point? So, yeah, I mean, that's a fine example. Jim Cornette was not a trained wrestler, but, you know, he had to fall from a scaffold, and he did. And, you know, poor guy, his knees were never the same. But no, Jim Cornette, always going to be in my top 10. Just, you know, maybe calm down with the whole, hey, that scruffy man should be hung in a car park, gubbins. Number five. Wonderful human being, a man who sent me trainers after holding me hostage. That's Stokely Hathaway. First became aware of, I knew Stokely's name because you don't forget a name like Stokely Hathaway. But in Orlando in 2017, where we were doing progress at WrestleMania with our friends at WWN, he came out to introduce Timothy Thatcher, and just the level of hype he came up with. He was a mixture of being a business manager and a boxing agent and a gospel preacher all in one. Absolutely brilliant at what he did. I was there for his last match in WWN when he actually wrestled, because people forget he was a pretty decent wrestler as well. I think he's got an acting background too. There's just so much to him. And I believe he's with MLW now. I know a lot of people at MLW, so good luck to Stokely. Hopefully my path will cross with him again soon, because he's just a good dude to hang out with. So all the best to Stokely, fantastic manager. Number four in my top 10 managers is Miss Elizabeth. Now, she's high up on the list for managing Randy Savage and for being slightly different. I think the way she was as a valet, as they were then called, was brilliant, in that she always looked like she was on the verge of tears, and that instantly made you sympathetic to her. And dependent on whether Randy Savage was being nice to her, a babyface, or being mean to her, a heel, it created a character dynamic between those two that established Savage's character even more. And she didn't always do loads, but everything that she did do was memorable. Like, most people remember the point where she whipped her skirt off and everyone just stopped and stared. And even though it was still very PG, very 1980s, aimed at kids WWE, it was still a huge moment in the world of wrestling. And the point where she was reunited with Randy Savage was just like, I remember, that's the first time I think I ever cried at wrestling, was when Randy Savage held the ropes open for her. Oh, so good, so good. And on a related note, number three is Sherry Martel, who initially replaced Elizabeth when Randy Savage went from being, because he was heel, then babyface with Hulk Hogan, then the Mega Powers exploded. And after the Mega Powers exploded, Sherry became his manager. And she's been known as many people, Sensational Sherry, Queen Sherry, Sister Sherry, Peggy Sue. That was a weird anomaly. But Sherry Martel, great wrestler, really, really good wrestler. There wasn't a lot of women's wrestling in WWF as it was in the 1980s, but the stuff that there was, some of it was really good. The Jumping Bomb Angels, the Glamour Girls, they were all really good, but Sherry was great. And the fact that I think most people are aware, she was obviously no longer with us, but she was hard as nails as well, which is something you need to be as a manager. It's not just standing around, like I was saying with Jim Cornette before. It's not just standing around and just saying stuff from time to time. You've still got to be able to take a beating every now and again. And also, don't forget, it wasn't just Randy Savage with Sherry. She managed Harlem Heat, which was really, really cool. And she was Shawn Michaels' first manager. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, someone on Twitter, at Jim Smallman, hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw, didn't Sherry originally sing Shawn Michaels' music, or have I gone mad? I'm sure there was a version of Shawn Michaels' music before he sang it that Sherry sang. Let me know, at Jim Smallman. Okay, who's the top two? If you haven't guessed which the top two are, I don't think we can be friends. I think it's really obvious who the top two are, just what order they're in. So, number two is Paul Heyman, Brock Lesnar's advocate at the minute. But, I mean, he's brilliant at doing that stuff. Like, every time he walks out, there's, hello, my name is Paul Heyman. People lose their minds. And that's because he's so good at talking. He is just wonderful. Everybody can learn how to talk from watching Paul Heyman. But if you go back and see his stuff in the early 90s in WCW as Paulie Dangerously with the Dangerous Alliance, who are one of my favourite ever stables as well, in WCW, he was brilliant there. And the figurehead role he had in ECW, even though ECW was his company, the role he had in ECW of going out in front of the audience and hyping up everybody was almost half being a character as well. So just still brilliant at what he does now, was brilliant back then, and is someone who just had that gift of being able to talk and has always had it. And someone like me is in awe of someone like that because I've never had that gift. I've had to work really hard at it. So number one, you know number one is, right? Should be easy, this one. Number one is Bobby the Brain Heenan, the best manager of all time. I don't think many people will argue with me. He's the best manager of all time. Great wrestler in the 1970s, was involved in a lot of gory, over-the-top matches. Then managed in AWA, managed Nick Bockwinkle to the AWA title, which was a really big deal at the time. Then he went to WWF, managed Andre the Giant at WrestleMania 3, managed Ric Flair when he won the title pretty much as soon as he came in. And this is a fact, and I'm reading directly from the book. One fan in Chicago in the 1970s took such umbrage to Heenan that he shot at him, missing his target but injuring several bystanders. Now that's heat. Whew, you're not wrong.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So then, to my other list. This is towards the end of my book. You can hear me turning the pages. And this is my list of wrestlers. And again, when I wrote this at the turn of the year, soon to be huge stars. Now, there's loads of people. Don't tweet me going, why wasn't this person on the list? I could have made this list 100 people. I deal with professional wrestlers all the time. And even since writing this book,
I've come across people who I know are going to be big stars. Like, I wasn't really familiar with LAX until they worked for us in America. They're going to be massive. They're so talented. They're absolutely out of this world brilliant. I think Jordan Devlin's going to have an absolute breakout year. I think that Brody King, bias aside, with him being my best friend, I think Brody King's going to be the next great big man in professional wrestling. These are all people who I think are going to do great things. And this will become obvious in a minute because he'd never worked for us when I was writing this book. Bandido is clearly going to be an absolute superstar for the next 10, 20, maybe even 30 years because of the longevity of careers in Mexico. So when I wrote this, this was who I had in my mind at the time. And you know me, I'll bash a list out and just go, yeah, that's my list. So this were the 10 people I put together when I was writing this list, probably, I want to say in December or January. This is the list I put together. Top 10, soon to be huge stars. These are people who are definitely going to headline a WrestleMania or Wrestle Kingdom or something like that in the future. And I'd be interested to know what your list is. Feel free to write one out, screenshot it, tweet it to me, at Jim Smallman, use the hashtag Tuesday Night Jaw. Get involved, I'll give you my opinion. Always like to see stuff like that. So, this is the list I put together. Again, turn of the year. Things may have changed since, but all 10 of these guys are still super talented. Number 10 is Flamita. I think it's interesting because I think Flamita and Bandido, now former Progress Tag Team Champions, are a wonderful tag team. The chemistry they have working together is out of this world. You may well have seen the gif of Bandido doing a standing Phoenix splash where Flamita flips him up in the air. They do tons of stuff like that where one will use the other as a weapon. But the reason we used Flamita at Super Strong Style last year was because I'd been watching my friend Arnold Furious had been writing his adventures watching Japanese wrestling through the years, and he talked about Flamita's work in Dragon Gate. I like Arn's opinion, so I went and looked up some Flamita matches and straight away was like, oh, this guy's brilliant, because not only can he do all the stuff you expect a luchador to do, but he could do strong style stuff because he'd been wrestling in Japan and he was great and he was doing these mad things like these insane muscle busters and standing springboard 450s from the second rope, just out of this world stuff. And he's become an even better wrestler since then. Great when he did Super Strong Style. He's even better now. So got a lot of time for Flamita. Doing great things in Mexico, doing great things now in America, and all the indies there has done great things for us, and obviously still doing great things in Dragon Gate in Japan. And as I point out in the book, you can sing his name to the tune of Man Eater by Hall & Oates. Thank you to whoever did that at a Progress show for the first time, you absolute star. Number 9, former guest on this podcast, is Joey Janela. Now, sadly, Joey is out injured for probably a year after tearing his knee to pieces. And again, I pointed out the thing when we were talking about Lycos before, about American healthcare. Joey's doing great things as an indie wrestler. Not just as an indie wrestler, but someone who's got great ideas and great creativity. And, you know, you have to look at the shows that he's put together with GCW. Just him putting a show together is a draw, which tells you how smart his mind is for wrestling. I'm gutted because he's a friend as well. I'm gutted that he's hurt his knee. I pointed this out on Twitter a little while ago. Still got a pro wrestling tee store and things like that. If you're looking to buy a wrestling t-shirt, maybe buy a Joey Janela one, because he definitely needs help getting his knee surgery sorted, and he's got to live off something for the next year or so. So if you get a chance, do try and support Joey. He's a really, really good dude. But also, inside the ring, when he's back, we'll see this again, he is crazy. He does some mad, mad, mad stuff. There's an air of, I think he's like a cross between Shawn Michaels and Mick Foley in many ways. And I've got a lot of time for Joey, and I wish him the speediest of speedy recoveries. Number 8 is David Starr. Again, former guest on this podcast. I am super honoured that out of David Starr's list of nicknames, I am one of very few people who's allowed an extra nickname in there for him, the Circumcised Saviour, which I put in. I like David a lot. Spends a lot of time in the UK, which means we've seen a lot of him, and I hope to see a lot of him in the future as well. I think he's fantastically talented. Really, really good storyteller. One of the matches I've enjoyed the most this year, outside of progress shows, was going to WXW and seeing his hair versus hair match with Jørn Simmons, who's someone else I really like, during the Tag League weekend, the one day I was there. That match was special. And again, it's down to the storytelling of both of them as well as their in-ring ability. So, got a lot of time for him. I love the fact that his focus in his career seems to be the UK and Germany. So, all the best for us guys over here, being able to enjoy having David around. Number seven. Again, this is an injury story. When I put this list together at the start of the year, someone I'm a big fan of is Hiromu Takahashi. Obviously had the terrible neck injury, and I'm not entirely sure what his injury status is. I hope we will see him again in the ring, because an absolutely wonderful wrestler. And I know that when his injury happened, there's always people who will be naysayers that don't like WWE products, and there'll be people who are naysayers and don't like New Japan products. I'm a wrestling fan. I like all wrestling. I can see the good and bad and stuff, but as a rule, this podcast is positive. I'm a positive human being. I just like watching wrestling. I think it was interesting that when he got hurt, a lot of people decided to say, well, he got hurt because it was New Japan, and that, you know, people get hurt all the time. Wrestling is difficult and physical and violent, and people will always get hurt. And I hate seeing people get hurt, and having seen how Hiromu got hurt in his match, it's horrible, because just the thought of hurting your neck in that way just sucks. But let's hope he has a speedy recovery. Fingers crossed we see him in the ring again. He's clearly a tough dude, as everybody who steps inside a wrestling ring is. So fingers crossed we'll see Hiromu again very, very soon. And he will carry on going on to huge, huge things, because I think he's not just someone who's good at wrestling. He's got a personality that makes him stick out massively, like Naito has. So he's on that sort of level. If he can stay fit once he's back again, the sky's the limit for him. Number six, another former Tuesday Night Jaw guest, is Travis Banks. I know on the screen at Progress, me and Travis have an unusual relationship, in that there's often one person trying to force the other one to shake the other one's hand. But I will say this about Travis. He has worked his socks off to get to where he's got now. Absolutely worked his backside off. You know, we pointed out in the podcast before, dude used to live in a train carriage. You know, he's travelled across the world to follow his dream. He is now, I know he's had an injury problem recently, but he is now, you know, out there making a name for himself. And, you know, from someone who comes from New Zealand, which is as far away, having been there, as far away as it's humanly possible to be from anywhere else, he has done wonderful, wonderful things. And, you know, outside of his dickhead persona in Progress, I will say this, he's a smashing lad and someone I like having around. So Trav is fantastic. Sad that he missed out on Bola this year because of his injury. But obviously someone who's signed to NXT UK, someone who's done great things in Progress, had the record for the most successful title defences as Progress World Champion, head trainer at Fight Club Pro, again, someone who the sky's the limit for. And I can see just really, really making his name for himself all across the world going forward. Number five is Tyler Bate. I met Tyler when he was 17. When I first met Tyler, he couldn't make eye contact with me because he was a 17-year-old kid. And he's gone from that to the quasi-Conor McGregor that he is now. And he's also a smashing human being. He's lovely. But he's a wonderful, wonderful wrestler. See his match with Pete Dunne in Chicago at TakeOver last year. See his match with Walter at Wembley Arena this year. And he's, what, 22, I think? I mean, how good is he going to be? He's brilliant now. He's already one of the best in the world. How good is he going to be when he's 25? How good is he going to be when he's 30? He's going to be unbelievably great. What I also really love about him is he's got the big, strong boy persona. And in times past, people would have looked at someone like Tyler, who's not the tallest, and gone, nope. And what he's done is he's worked hard. and looks amazing. And he's looked amazing since he was a kid. It's ridiculous. Like, I'd never seen a 17-year-old who looked like him. When I was 17, I was pale from not ever going out and just basically playing video games all the time. For him to have been as focused as he has been on wrestling, be as good as he was at 17, as good as he was at 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, that's some dedication. And he is, by the time he's 25, he's going to be so good, it's frightening. And again, attitude is key. His attitude is the best. So, you know, I think Tyler's wonderful. Number four, speaking of Tyler Bate wrestling at Wembley Arena, who did he wrestle? He wrestled the Progress World Champion Volta. Always typed in capitals, like Progress. Walter's the best big man in wrestling right now, for me. I think he is tremendous. I think the fact that he has got over, he doesn't do loads in the ring, doesn't need to, does a sleeper and a cool drop kick and a power bomb and a power driver and some chops, but doesn't need to do loads. But everything he does is believable. Everything he does has a purpose. There's no wasted motion with him. Everything has the right amount of psychology behind it. His match with Timothy Thatcher this year at Progress is one of my favourite matches of all time. And I think the fact that Volta, who we've known at Progress for the last couple of years, is really, really good. And everyone in WXW is known for probably the last 5 or 6 years. I think everyone globally, thanks to him being PWG champion until recently, like, everyone globally has got to know how good Volta is. And again, I say this a lot, he's someone that you would always want in your locker room. He is a joy to have around. He knows tons about wrestling because he's been involved in the running of WXW for quite some time. And you need someone matter-of-fact and blunt like him, because it's the Austrian way to just go, no, I do not like this. Why not do it like this? And you're like, yeah, the man's a genius. So, I think Walter, when I wrote this at the start of the year, I already thought he was going on to big things. I think now that's definitely been underlined by the sheer hot streak he's had over the last few months. Into my top three. Number three, when I wrote this, was not signed to WWE, was not signed to NXT, was not at the Performance Center, and that is Matt Riddle. A man who had a professional MMA record of 8 wins, 3 losses, and 2 no contests. And let's not forget, those 2 no contests were for testing positive for marijuana. And I think I've said this on stage before, but if you can win a cage fight when you're stoned, you can have those 2 wins, good sir. but I mean, Matt Riddle was recommended to me by William Regal, and he'd seen Riddle wrestle Cassius Ohno when he was in between his first and second NXT runs. So he's back being Chris Hero on the indies. And I think Regal saw him wrestle at Evolve and thought the match was out of this world and exactly the sort of thing that I like and we would want to put on a Progress show. He recommended him to me. We took a look at him, loved him from day one. The first time he walked out of a Progress show, there's only been 2 times I've looked at a wrestler coming out of the entranceway at the Electric Ballroom and thought, oh, that's an absolute superstar right there. Like, there is no question that person is going to go on to main event at WrestleMania. The last person before Matt Riddle was Finn Balor. And it just looks like he's been chiselled out of granite. And he's a great dude. And as this has been pointed out on this podcast before, and I forget by who, I think it may have been Pip, is both Bill and Ted in one human being. He is phenomenal. And I'd written in the book, I'm sure at some point he'll be in WWE. And lo and behold, now he is. It was an honour for us to have his last independent match at Progress at Wembley Arena as well. Really, really cool that he was down for doing that. Really, really cool that WWE allowed him to do it as well. So very, very grateful for that. So my top two. And let's be honest, both of them are already megastars. They're just going to be even bigger. Number two is Will Ospreay. I've known Will since he was 18. Will is a wonderful human being and a wonderful wrestler. He is the best high-flying wrestler in the world, full stop. No one's better than him. He is sadly out injured at the moment. So I think he broke his rib which sucks for him. But hopefully the rest will do him good, because as a friend of his, I worry about him. But he's so dedicated and so hardworking. And to go from the shy kid at the age of 18 who did a lot of flips but didn't necessarily fill in all the gaps in between, to the wrestler he is now, which is a bona fide main eventer wherever he goes, someone who gets the psychology, someone who doesn't always need to do the high-flying stuff, someone who all of his strikes look great, someone who, you know, originally couldn't talk, he's now one of the best talkers in the business. I couldn't be happier for Will. And I know that Will loves wrestling in Japan, and that's the thing he wants to do. Good for him, because he's fantastic. As long as he's happy, as a friend of his, I'll be happy. But what a talent. And, you know, hopefully he comes back from this little slight injury stronger and better than ever. Because, again, the sky, no pun intended, is the limit for the aerial assassin. Who's number one then? Who's your number one? I'll tell you who mine is. It's quite an easy one. Because I think, legit, he's the best wrestler in the world. And that's Pete Dunne. He's 24 and he is astonishingly good. The first time we used Pete in Progress, he wrestled Flash Morgan Webster in the Natural Progression series. And between him and Flash, they did every move in the world. And we knew he was good, but we didn't quite get it. And then we had people recommend him to us when we started using him again a couple of years ago. It would be 3 years ago now. And he was just, you know, when it just clicks with someone, it had just clicked with him and everything he did was brilliant. And that was then. He's even better than that now. And not only is he wonderful, and not only was he in, you know, one of the best matches I've ever seen, which is him and Tyler from Chicago's Takeover last year, but the time he has for everybody on a Progress show. So not only is he going out and having, there's no such thing as a half-assed Pete Dunne match. Every match he has is great. Even if you tell him to take it easy, he's going to go out and absolutely kill it every single time. He gets it. Everything he does is brilliant. And there's, it's like he's half Ring of Honor era Brian Danielson, and he's half William Regal, and he's just like, everything he does is wonderful. But also he, if he's backstage at our shows, he's got time for feedback for everybody. You know, he'll go out and seek people out and say, hey, I like what you did here, but how about you improve this? And just everything about him screams, let's make wrestling better. You know, we're very lucky that we've still got him in this country at the minute. And, you know, long may we have him, fingers crossed, because I love having him on Progress shows. But he's next level brilliant. He is absolutely out of this world. And I don't think, you know, I could have chosen more obscure people to be on this list. But I think in the grand scheme of things, as British people, we love Pete, because Pete's the WWE UK champion. He was Progress champion for a long time, and he's been champion in various other promotions. And, you know, he's the biggest draw in this country now. But that's for us as British independent wrestling fans. A mainstream audience, not everybody's as aware of him yet. And that's the point of this list. These are people who, you know, average people know who Chris Jericho is, know who Roman Reigns is, know who Steve Austin is, etc. This is what I'm saying. The 10 guys on this list, we know who they are, but who's really going to break out and be massive over the course of the next decade? And I think all 10 of these guys are. I know a lot of them already are massive. Pete and Will in particular definitely are. But I still think there's so many more places these guys can go and so many more heights these guys can reach. And it's all quite exciting, really, isn't it? The future of wrestling is very, very positive. I, for someone who's loved wrestling for 36 of my 40 years, I've never felt more positive about it as a fan as I do now. I know I work in it, but as a fan, there's so much cool stuff to see. And there's so many, you know, so many more up-and-coming people to get excited about every single year. So, you know, super cool stuff. I did mention just then, just one little note, and that's about Roman Reigns. Now, we've talked a lot about in this podcast about, I get really angry when people chant, you can't wrestle at Roman Reigns, and people give Roman Reigns grief for not being their cup of tea. What I thought was wonderful was how so many people, even people who aren't Roman Reigns fans, when he went out and did his speech at Raw the other day and talked about having leukemia and having to battle that, the amount of people who sent out nice messages and the amount of people who said, you know, even if you said, he's not my cup of tea, but, you know, that's some speech and that's something to have dealt with. Like, I already rated Roman Reigns. I had no idea, like pretty much the rest of the world, I had no idea he'd beaten leukemia once. And I tweeted this the other day. At 22 years old, if I knew I had leukemia, not only would I struggle to fight it, I'd roll over and pretty much let it beat me, because that's the sort of person I am. I wouldn't have had the mental toughness to deal with that, let alone beat it, and then go into something as hard as wrestling with the knowledge that you've got to be at least good at it because it's your family business. I think when you know that and you know that backstory, like his story is genuinely inspiring, and hopefully there's going to be a comeback from this and he's going to beat it, and his comeback from it is going to be hugely inspiring. And that's going to be a point where I think even the most cynical person who has decided that, like the guy, I spoke about this on the podcast before, the guy who sat near us at WrestleMania this year, who just, I think, booed Roman Reigns because he'd read on the internet that's what he's meant to do. He'd not made his own mind up. And I think now that, you know, fingers crossed he beats it and comes back, I think the response and the goodwill that guy's going to get, and just from us knowing a little bit behind the curtain more than we knew about him before, is going to be astonishing. I recommend if you can to, I think Alistair Black may well have tweeted it, but it was definitely on Alistair Black's Facebook. He put up a post about how Roman Reigns treated him when he first started doing main roster house shows last year, and it's a really, really lovely story. So I'd recommend you have a look at that. I'm not going to ruin it for people, but go and look that up. Check Alistair Black out. I'm sure he's put it up on Twitter, on Instagram or something like that. Anyway, there's some lists. excuse me, once again, if you would like to buy my book, please do. jimsmallman.com/book. Just search for my name on Amazon, Waterstones, wherever it comes up now. I'd be really grateful if you bought it. Again, if you want a signed copy of it, either buy one, find me at a show, I'll sign it, or hang tight, or try and find a way of us selling some signed copies. I just need to speak to my publisher about that. Progresswrestling.com, demand-progress.com for all your progress related stuff. That's really cool. Do please continue to support that. Obviously, I admitted I'm kind of a little bit involved with it. So NXT UK every Wednesday, 8 o'clock UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the United States of America. Do check that out and support everybody on that, because as a rule, it's people you kind of know from British wrestling already, and those guys have all got a big chance, so support those guys. And everything on the Distraction Pieces Network, because, I mean, you listen to this podcast, but, you know, obviously listen to all the other podcasts because they're all super sweet. And thanks for listening, guys. Sorry it's only a mini one this week. I'm going to try and get a good guest lined up for next week. But yeah, cheers for listening, and I will speak to you next week. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.